This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's not 100 degrees, so it's got to be wonderful.
It's so strange how the standard for what's great weather now has changed so much for you.
It has. I mean, you know, when it's only 90 or 95, it's just fine, you know. As long as it's not 100 and above, I guess we're going to survive this thing. But, you know, it should be in the 70s right now, in the 80s, but yeah. It's not.
Well,
but they tell me maybe in another week.
Oh, well, that's good. See, that's some something to look forward to, some good news. And then
that's right.
If they're right with the farmer's market or the farmer's almanac, I saw that come out again today. That's been kind of like all over the place. It looks like we're going to have a cooler, wetter winter. So we'll have more precipitation, cooler temperatures. Hopefully that doesn't mean a storm like we've seen recently, but still, it'll be very different than triple digits like what you've been seeing. So,
well, and everybody tells me that Farmers Almanac also said it was going to be worse weather than what we're used to for winter. That it's going to get bad. And I'm going, oh my gosh, we're going to go right from 110, 112 right into the snow and ice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they did say that
gosh.
Too.
Well, and I, you know, we had these policies last week that we were trying to get all these people in. I want to apologize because we ran out of room,
oh.
And we had several that didn't get in that policy that wanted in it, and we just ran out. You know, I sent all the invitations out, and I knew that sometimes people are out of town, but I wasn't really considering that. And then several people got back and said, is it too late? Too late. I want to be in that policy. Well, it was too late. We'd already sent it to the bank.
Oh.
But I apologize. But we have a couple of other good policies coming up next week, and we'll try to get everybody in that wants in those policies. We'll do our best.
Policies that you've already bid on and you secured them?
We think we're closing on them first of the week.
Cool.
And, you know, once we close, you know, those people want to get their money for treatment. In fact, we've had a situation that we closed on two or three weeks ago, and we didn't have all the paperwork changed over to our name. And the broker called us and said, she's in such dire need. Can we go ahead and advance part of it?
Mm.
And we did. And then this week he said, Fay, can we go ahead and give her the rest of the money? He said, they're in dire straits.
Oh, my.
So we did arrange that. But usually, you know, it takes us a week to raise the money after we get a policy. And in this case, the lady should have sold it a little sooner. Because she really needed the money for treatment, and they were really in a bind. So they called upon us to release some of that money early, and we went ahead and did that for her and helped her out. I think she had a big bill due right then for her cancer treatment.
How long did you say it usually takes, like, to turn it around once you get it, I guess? How does it, what is it, like a couple
of
weeks?
Once we get it, we escrow right then. You know, it takes us a week usually, or maybe a week and a half. It depends how big it is to raise the money. And then we go put that in the escrow account, and then we wait for all the paperwork. And the paperwork, you know, usually takes 2 or 3 weeks because we have to get change of ownership. We have to make sure if there's an ex-wife that she signed off on it, that she won't try to, you know, get their money when they die. And that's happened to us a few times over the years. And then we have to send it to the insurance company and say, we have a new beneficiary on this policy, which is us. And so it takes a little while to get all that done. Hmm. So usually the escrow, after we escrow, it sets there a little bit. And we don't pay them till we have every document in place. But on this one, it was an emergency.
You had said something like, you know, like beneficiaries looking at, you know, who's on the policy, there's ex-wife or anything like that involved. Is that part of the consideration process, like when you're considering bidding, or is that something that's done after you get the policy?
After we get the policy, we check and see, you know, who the beneficiaries are. Of course, they're all coming out and we're going in as the beneficiary. But we also say, have they been divorced? And if they have, we require that ex-wife or ex-husband, whoever it is, to sign off. Because, you know, years ago we had a woman come in and she'd been divorced from a man for 10 years. Mm. And she heard about this, that he had died. And, man, she stepped up. She wanted her share. It had been 10 years. And he had not gotten her to sign anything. And so we had that problem. We had to cure it.
So is that, does it, I assume it doesn't, well, no, I shouldn't assume. Does it happen often or is
no.
it?
No.
Okay.
Once every 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay. So it's really, it's not even really a thing.
No, it's not usually a thing, especially when we learned about how to, that happened several years ago. Now we, you know, we check, do you have an ex-wife? Then she has to sign off, right. You know, and that's what part of the requirement if you've been divorced.
Do they have to sign off, or could they refuse to sign off? I don't know.
Even if we have to give them $500 or, you know, something for signing, right. We'll do it just to get them out of the picture.
All right. I know I'm asking questions about something that's not really a concern. I was just kind of curious. So, all right. Because, yeah, I remember that from a few years ago, and it's just like, it seemed like it just kind of got taken care of and fixed,
but it sure got our attention. You know, somebody coming in after 10 years and saying, oh, by the way, you know, I know that I'm the beneficiary. And we're going, no, no, you're not. And she said, well, I'll just show you, you know, that I am.
And then you showed her.
She was not. So anyway, now we do require that. We want to be sure, you
all
know.
Right. Well, all right. At least there's a process if, you know, anything kind of happens. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of weird possibilities. There's not like weird variables involved. It seems like the whole life settlement process is pretty straightforward. People want to sell their policy. They do. And then you offer to either bid on it or bypass it, depending on, you know, what you see inside the policy. And then from that point, if you get it, then it's done, it's filled. I'm kind of paraphrasing. You can clean this up for me for the mess that I'm laying down. But once you get it filled, people are in, and then you wait for it to mature and people get paid, and that's kind of it. It's pretty straightforward, right?
That's right.
Basically.
And then people, you know, when they look at it, they look at different things on it, you know, how many treatments they've had, if it's spread. You know, people are reading all this. And I had someone the other day on that policy. He had a question, and, you know, he sent me an email about it. He said, well, I don't understand this. And I said, well, the way we did it, we had two LEs, I said. And so we took them, divided it up. That came out to 28 months, but the main LE on it said it was only 17. So I said, it's more than 1% a month if they die in 17. He said, oh, okay. And so we were asking him to put 50,000 in. He said, oh, can I go ahead and put 100 in?
Oh, wow.
So once he understood it, he doubled it, you know? So that's the way it is sometimes. If you understand the policy, you're going to usually want to put more money in. Sometimes people are okay with 40,000 or 50, but then we have a lot of people, if they call and ask questions and we go over it and they understand it better, they'll double what they were going to put in it.
Mm.
And and it's good for them to ask questions. I always say, ask questions. If you don't understand it, call me. We'll go over it. You know, and there's probably something they were missing. But the way I look at it, I always go, okay, how long have they had the cancer? Make sure it's stage four. What treatments are they getting? What cancer drugs are they on? Are they doing radiation? Are they doing chemo? You know, what is the procedure? And then has it spread? And when it says it's in four ribs, vertebrae, you know, all these other places, and that's not where the cancer started, then I'm worried about that person. I figure they're not going to make it, because if it's already spread, you know, they don't have much of a chance. If especially if they've had it a couple of years and it's gotten worse, and it, you know, it talks about, you know, this one was a case that it was a rectal cancer. They couldn't operate on it, and they had put stents in. And a lot of people asked the question about it. I said they put the stents in. They were hoping that would help them open up and that they'd go in and be able to do the surgery. But the mass was so large, they couldn't. And so, you know, if they can't operate, they're not going to make it. That's just simple arithmetic.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of them didn't understand all that. But, you know, rectal cancer, there's only a 27% survival rate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and they missed that. One person that called me was telling me, well, this is a longer LE on it. I said, yes, but read on down there. And they say there's only a 27% survival rate. And so you have to look at all the facts and then make your decision, of course. And we've got one group that regularly invest. I mean, they something comes due, they reinvest. And so when I look at their cash position, you know, they'll have maybe $400,000 or $500,000 in cash that they've had in maturities.
Mm.
And they've got more maturities because they invest all the time on a regular basis.
So they're always turning over something.
They're always turning their money over. And then we do a lot of breast cancer. You know, we've only had one breast cancer go over. Most of those come in earlier than what they say. Because if they've had breast cancer for several years and they've already, you know, done the first breast cancer surgery on it, and now it's come back. If it's under 5 years, that thing usually does come back. And when it comes back, the survival rate is almost nil, because on that second one, it's going to spread quicker. Now, I don't know why it does, but it does. And when we read how many lymph nodes it's in, and we see, you know, that it's not only in the lymph nodes, it's went to the ovaries, well, you have no chance of survival. We don't do very much stomach cancer. And, you know, we've had a couple or three stomach cancers, and they'll operate on it. You'll think you're okay. 2 years later, you're dead.
Mm, wow.
So, you know, it's a deadly form of cancer. So, and, you know, we're researching it all the time. You know, what is the survival rate? You know, how many years can you usually go? How far is it spread? These are all important things. So, you know, when we do a policy, we say, okay, we're going to pay you 1% a month. And they don't realize that it's always over 1%. In other words, if it's 16 months, they're probably going to get 22. And, you know, we always try to pay a little more than that 1% a month. And people don't even realize that. They don't look at the numbers and say, well, you know, that's more than 1% a month. So, you know, if they can make 28 or 30%, you know, it's a good policy. We do quite a few short term, you know, 12 months, 16 months, and it always pays more than that. But the survival rate is almost nothing if it's 12 months.
Are there certain types of questions? I guess it's kind of like a two-part question. Is there any specific question when people call and say, you know, hey, I have a question about this, either a specific question or a specific type of question, like what does this mean or what does that mean? Are there, can you even generalize questions that people might have, or is it just kind of like on a case-by-case basis and it just depends?
It's usually a case-by-case, but usually the question is, you know, what do I think about the policy? What do I think the chances are that it will come in on time? And so then we go back and look at the statistics, you know, as to why we think it's going to come in at this rate. Well, it's because it has spread. It's in the lymph nodes. It's in other places. If we got it and it just said they've got this one cancer and stage four, you know, anything could happen. But if they tell us everything they've been through, how many times they've been in the hospital, all these other things, and that tells the story. So it's like a book. You have to read the story about how many times they've been hospitalized, how far it is now compared with 2 years ago.
And my guess is that, I mean, people are not medical doctors who have studied any of this. They're not scientists when they're looking at policies, if they want to get in or not. But it's, I would imagine it's probably pretty clear to understand the data, what it means, you know, because you're also looking at other things, not only just data, but you're also looking at things like lifestyle. You know, if they're out traveling, if they're out, you know, on the golf course, as you say.
If they're traveling or on the golf course, we're not buying it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just figure they're not suffering.
Yeah.
But when I get calls that they need the money early, I know we've made the right decision.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, when they say, you know, they need some money right now. They've got to go back to the hospital. Yes, that's a serious case, and they won't be with us very long. And our LEs are so much better than they were 3 or 4 years ago. They're better. They're coming in quicker. They're coming in pretty much on time, and they weren't a long time ago. We had a lot that went over, and it was because the LEs were not as good as they should have been. And now, you know, we have Lapidus, we have these others that are really, really good. And, you know, when I read their report, I know it's for real. I know how good they are because they're a group of scientists, and that helps. The others are doctors, and, you know, they are looking at it, they're reading it, and they're reading medical reports. They don't just think this up. This all comes from the hospital and medical records. And then we ask them to send us the medical records, and we read those medical records. And it'll tell all the tests they've had, the lab work. It'll give a doctor's opinion. You know, a couple months ago, we had one that the doctor wrote in there and said, this guy isn't going to make it. I mean, it's pretty dadgum clear. He said, you know, I find that this guy is, and if they'll come out and say that, then, you know, we're going to buy that policy as quick as possible. If they'll just go ahead and admit, you know, that they know that their client is on the way out.
Hmm. So some are there always notes, or is that just kind of like a bonus you get once in a while?
Some of them just have their lab reports. They'll tell what all they did, what kind of surgery they did on them. All the cancer treatment, and sometimes they won't give a direct opinion. They'll just tell you what all they've done to try to save their life. But then every once in a while, somebody will just flat out say, you know, I've told them. And sometimes they've already told the client, you know, to be prepared. Wow. So if they'll come out and say that, you know, we know that it's going to be short-lived.
When you go through policies, and this is, I'm talking about like before you even bid on them, when you're like going through them, going through all the data, looking at, you know, do we even want to bid on this or do we want to skip it, bypass it, send it back? When you're going through all that, you're going through a ton of information. Once you decide to say bid on a policy, you say this is a good policy to bid on. We're going to go for it. You get awarded it. do investors have the same information you looked at, or do they get a different set of data, but maybe a more condensed version, or do they have like the entire thing that you looked at when you?
No, we don't give them all the medical reports. That would take, no, we don't give them that. But what we do give them is a synopsis of that medical report. It's condensed way down. But it's direct off of the medical reports, which says, that he was at the hospital this date, he had surgery this date, it came back, we're trying to do it again. Yeah, all that is in there. This is a direct off of the medical records.
Okay, because I know that you go through an awful lot of data, and I know in the past you've said something like you've been known to go through 750 pages of content.
That's right. And I'm like, and if it's a big policy, I'm searching everywhere to find out if we want to go there. If it's a $2 million policy or $1 million policy, I've got the medical records out, and I'm reading it, and I'm looking to see what doctors, what hospitals. Sometimes it's MD Anderson. Sometimes it's hospitals out of state. And we're reading all that to see what all they say. But the condensed version is I can read the LA reports from the doctor, and then I go, okay. Then if I go back over here and read the actual reports, that's right in there, direct. I always check that.
Okay. So the data that people get, it's accurate. It's just a smaller version, so they don't feel like they have to go through 1,000 pages, read everything
in two days. It's a smaller version of the big picture.
Okay.
like we turned a lady down this week, and we very seldom do. But the more I read about her, it said, well, at this one point, it didn't show. Well, if the cancer's not showing, it's in remission, that's what it said. It had decreased. The cancer cells had decreased. Well, if they're decreasing, we don't want it because they might survive it, probably won't. But I can tell you this, they're not going to die in 28 months.
Yeah.
I figured that person's got several years to go. It was not that serious. So we did turn it down.
Do they still have page 14? It's been a while since we've brought this up, and I know they moved it. It used to be like literally the 14.
It's about five pages from the end now. I don't know how it got moved, but you're exactly right. It's an important page. It tells everything about the policy. It tells the face amount of the policy. It tells what your investment is, what your profit is, what kind of cancer it is, whether it's a man or a woman. It gives you their age, which is important. And then it says, okay, if this goes over, this is what it would cost you. And that's another thing when we're evaluating a policy. It may look like the best policy on the street. But then we go down there and it says a premium is 7%.
Oh.
Well, there isn't anybody going to buy it. I mean, they might as well just take it on home.
Yeah.
They're caught with it. They're going to have to pay for it. There's nobody in the whole United States that would take a policy like that.
Lord,
so, 7%. We're trying to keep it below 2%, like 1.5, 0.25, really low. And then that way your risk is just cut to almost nothing. You have no risk if it's 25 cents, So we're checking that frontwards and backwards. That's a very important asset. So when we first get a policy, I get the LE and I'm reading it and reading all the medical. Then I'm asking Flint, look up the policy. Tell me what the premium is. And it may be convertible to permanent life. Most of these are term life. If it's convertible at a smaller rate for permanent, then we're going to convert it as soon as we get it. If it's real, real low, and it's got 15 years or 10 years to go, we won't touch it. We'll just leave it alone, and we'll go with that premium. But premium is very important. That's your risk in this whole thing. It's what that premium is. So, we want to get that premium down. We've learned the hard way, about that. So, and we want it to come in on time or close within 3 or 4 months. And they are now. We're not having the problem we had before with them going over because they weren't as sick as what we were told. So it's getting better all the time. I think it's a lot better now. That, as I said, they're coming in close. And, you know, we went back and did a study, and I forgot what that was, on how many of them were on time and how many of them were late. I'll have to look at the statistics on that again.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear the percentages.
Bad. Yeah, the percentages were good as to how many were late versus how many of them were on time. So it was real good, but I forgot what it was.
As far as investment strategy, the best way that you say to approach life settlements is to be in multiple policies, because what it does is obviously diversification has always been key. You've said that really since day one. That still holds true. But the more policies that people are in, it always keeps kind of, you were talking about earlier, there's always, you know, money that's turning over. So policies will mature, you turn around, put it in another policy, that matures, you put it in another policy. Meanwhile, policy number 5 maybe turn over, and then that matures. And then, so there's always movement. There's always things that are going on. Getting in one policy and just saying, okay, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to retire next year, that's not really...
That's not feasible.
Yeah.
We cannot do that for them. We wouldn't do it. We want them to be diversified where they'll make money, where they'll say, okay, I've got 6 or 7 policies. I got something coming in this year. I've got something coming in 2 years from now, you know, 18 months. That's why it's profitable. You've got to be able to turn your money. You've got to be diversified. I've got a lot of people that are really diversified. They're happy with the product. They're happy with me. And we're doing a good job for them. We've still got some old policies, but we're almost out of those old policies. The Denton policy, you know, it's been a long struggle. He's 91. We're hoping to get out of that, but I'm hoping by the end of the year, and I may be wrong. But, you know, that was when we first started doing this 10 years ago, and the people told us they were sick, and they weren't. It was a figment of their imagination. Mm. They were just old. And you know how I feel about that. We love them, but God bless them. Let's don't do a policy for them. you know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I've got a client that's been with me a long time. He's a rancher, an oil man. He's a great guy. He came to me about a month ago, said, Faye, I have a life insurance policy, $1 million and $500,000. I need to sell them.
Oh.
I said, okay. So I'm getting bids on this policy for him to get him out of it. And, you know, there's not a thing wrong with him. He's 85 years old. He's healthy as a horse. He just wants to get out of that life insurance policy. And they asked me, they said, what's wrong with him? I said, absolutely nothing. He just needs to sell his policy. And, you know, that's what happens. 85 years old, you know, healthy. I think he has quit flying his own plane. But other than that, you know,
wow,
he's still running around town.
Boy, when you judge somebody's activity and one of the factors is they quit flying their own plane, you know they were active.
Yeah.
They've had things going on.
And I have another client in Amarillo. She called me this week, and she was mad. Somebody had come out to her house, and they told her, we need you to sign these papers. And she believed them. And then she found out they were going to take her money out of her policies with me. She called the insurance company. She's written them. She told them if she hears any more flack, she's going to the state board on that guy.
Whoa.
I mean, she is mad. And, you know, she's 89 years old. And I asked her, I said, are you still driving? She said, oh, I gave it up, she said. you know, she said, it wasn't anything wrong. I never had a wreck. But she said, I decided to give it up. And but, you know, she's still writing her own letters. She's writing these letters to the insurance company, telling them about this guy. And that's the thing we have to watch when somebody gets that age. Somebody calls them, comes out to their house, and they're going to take them out of their annuities. Don't take them out. You know, you don't take somebody out of those annuities at 90.
No.
You know, it's just bad. And anyway, she told him that this guy better not ever show up at her door again. She might shoot him, frankly. She's a tough old girl. Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, if he does show up at the door, she might write another letter, but I think you're probably a little bit more accurate.
That's right. I mean, I think it'd be more than a letter. But can you imagine he went out there, pretended like he needed her to sign something just for her own good. And then after he left, she read it. She didn't read it while he's there. And then she just jumped out of her skin. She was so mad. She said, he's taking me out of my policies.
Jeez.
So she told the insurance company this week, if I hear any more about this, I'll just take all my money out in cash. She said, I better not hear any more about it.
I have a feeling that's probably over.
Yeah, and she said, Faye, I need you to write a letter to him and tell him that you're still going to handle my policies.
And what is she, 89?
Yeah.
Still sharp 89. As a tack.
She is sharp as a tack and mean as a junkyard dog. I've known her for, 20 years, I guess.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And she's the one that took out the annuities for all of her grandchildren when they were in high school. She took out annuities for 5 grandchildren where that they could go to college and take it out of an annuity every year.
Wow.
She did that for all of her grandchildren. They were big-time business owners, ranchers, and then her and her husband, we did annuities where they would make more money than just a CD at the bank because that's all they'd ever done was just CDs. And that when a CD, I'll never forget, when a CD would come due, they'd go and check all the banks in town to see who would pay the best, and then she'd put her money over there. And then we did annuities where she didn't have to do all that, and where that she could change it every year, and that she would make a lot more than the banks were paying. So,
what's a good age to get into annuities to start if they've never done it before?
Well, I would think at least 50 years old you'd start doing annuities.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people wait until they start to retire. I've got a lot of people lately that have done annuities, and they're 70 and 73. They're still working, but they're going to retire next year, so they want to get everything out of that dadgum stock market, and they want to get to security, and they want to know how much income they're going to have, and they may not start taking money out for a while. They don't need it, but they darn sure want the money safe, and that's why they're getting out of the stock market. I had another gentleman that's with one of the large oil companies, and he said, I want to take $100,000 out right now and put it with you because he's losing money. I said, do you think they'll let you? I said, lots of times they won't let you until you retire. He said, no, I've already talked to them. They said, I can take money out. So anyway, they sent him a check. We sent the check in. We've already got it issued.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And it's all on this 12% bonus program. They're all taking that 12% bonus this year. We haven't done any the other way. They've got that 20% bonus if you put money in every year. These people are just, probably they don't know what they will. So we took the 12. But you can do that 20% bonus if you're going to put money in every year. It also gives you a 4% additional add-on when you start taking money out. Jeez. Like in 10 years, it's going to add 4% automatically to your bottom line.
Boy, those bonuses are really getting people moving.
They are moving. It also has a waiver of everything if you go to a nursing home. You can take it all out if you go to a nursing home.
Really?
Yeah, and if you're on that 20% bonus deal, at the end of 4 years, if you have an emergency, you can take all your money out with no penalty.
Really?
No penalty whatsoever. So that's another good way to do it. The basic 12%, if you put money in next year, you'll get another 12%. Plus, that's a bonus. That's not your regular earnings. That's just a bonus for doing it with them. So right now, these annuities are really gaining popularity. A lot of people are doing them with us. They're saying, okay, you know, I've got all these losses in the stock market. I need something that's guaranteed. And remember, this is compound interest. You don't pay taxes till you start taking it out. And that it'll grow a lot faster if you're not paying taxes. Remember, all other investments that I know of, if you earn it, you have to pay taxes that year, the year in which it was earned. But not with an annuity. You don't pay any taxes till you take it out. It's all compound interest. Your principal's always safe. So I don't know of a better investment in the world than when your money is safe. It's not like all these other investments. It doesn't go up and down. If it makes money that year, they lock it in. It locks in once a year. So your interest is there, and it, nobody's going to take it back. It's not like a variable annuity. You know, variable annuities are direct in stock. They're direct in mutual funds, and you can lose money. But if you take a fixed index annuity, they never go down.
Boy, these annuities, I tell you what, these things, they've always been there. They've always been a good investment, but it just seems like these things are really on fire right now, and I think these bonuses have a lot to do with it. Do you think that they're going to be around for a while, or is the bonus thing just kind of like
hoping. I know they're still going right now. I'm hoping they go at least another 30 days.
Oh, cool.
And they might extend it, but I don't know. But I know it's a great investment right now. It's the best annuities have been in 20 years because used to, annuities started out at fixed rate, and it was a good rate. It was always more than bank. But then when indexes came along, they said, look, you can get part of the profit. So everybody loved index annuities. And I had somebody call the other day, wanted an index life insurance. And you have no guarantee on the profit on an index life insurance policy. Hmm. You know, it's going to mirror the stock market. I don't know. I like term life because it's cheap. Anybody can have a 20-year one, and that's a good rate. But annuities will do anything. They do so much more than other investments.
And you said that these are all fixed annuities, not variable.
These are fixed index. No, they're not variable. The only way you can do a variable, you go down to your old stockbroker, and he'll fix you up with a variable annuity. You can lose part of your principal on that thing. The principal is never guaranteed on a variable annuity at the stock market because it is stock market. It's the real thing. Ours, it mirrors the stock market. It's never in the stock market. That's why your principal is safe. That's why they lock in that interest every year. And there's no locking it in if you're in a variable annuity. So people should always say, I want an index fixed annuity.
I know
this
is...
the companies that I represent, remember, they've been in business 100 years, folks.
Jeez.
They're worth $60 billion. Count how high... to the ceiling, $60 billion is.
Start now. We'll come back next Saturday and see how you're doing.
That's right. We'll come back and show you how much $60 billion is.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it
and,
is.
And the reputation of the company is really important. The companies that I represent, they have an A-plus rating, have had for years, and that's in all sectors, A-plus. So they're doing something right. Their reputation is great. They're owned by Texans. Do I ever mention that?
Not enough.
It's owned by a Texas company.
Cool.
Yes, it's Texans doing business with us. So I think that's real important. They're not up in New York City or Minneapolis.
New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know... there was a life insurance company that owed us on a claim. We were having trouble getting a hold of them. I started trying to call them. And you know what? They do not answer their phone, and they're huge. They are not answering their phones. Why would they not be answering their phones?
That's ridiculous.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And we sent a complaint about them.
Ooh.
We said, this company's not even answering their phones, and they're huge. They're obviously avoiding somebody. I don't know who.
And do they call you back? Do you leave a message? They call back or nothing?
No, there was no way to leave a message.
Oh,
it
wow. was crazy. Nothing.
And maybe their phones were out. I don't want to, but we did get our money.
Okay.
We did get our money. But they had to answer the State Board of Insurance also because
serious.
We sent a complaint about them. I was saying, yeah. We didn't say they were in New Jersey, but almost.
You should have. It would have been an automatic ding.
That's right. Right then and there. Wow.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. We haven't even given the phone number out this morning.
I just realized
we haven't even been given the phone number out. People say, well, we'd like to call in. Well, what is that phone number?
We just got so excited about everything else, we forgot about the important stuff.
We didn't even tell anybody. And now somebody going down the road knew, and they said, well, hey, what is your phone number? What's your phone number?
Yeah.
And they said they don't even give out their phone number.
We got excited, lazy, and sloppy.
We got distracted this morning about, we're excited about our products, we're excited to be alive, and we just went for it this morning.
Swinging for the fence right off the bat. My goodness.
That's right. We get a little excited, carried away sometimes.
We do. So every Saturday around this time, we stop, we take a break, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It is an amazing story. It is the Texas OU football game.
Yay.
You know, this is the biggest thing, you know, since sliced bread. Texas OU plays October 7th in the Cotton Bowl.
Yay.
And, you know, you wouldn't believe this. You know, we know it's been going on a long time. When do you think they started playing each other?
I want to be silly and just say like 1890, but I know that's wrong.
1900.
Oh, really? Oh.
In 1900, they played their first game against each other.
Well, I was close.
And it's been uninterrupted since 1929.
Really?
Now then, they have played 118 games as of last year.
Wow.
118 games. This is the biggest thing. You know, in Texas and Oklahoma, everybody loves the football game. There will be millions of dollars spent in Dallas, Texas on the 7th. The people from Oklahoma, as you know, they start driving Friday at noon is when they leave Oklahoma. You will see a stream of cars all the way, and the highway patrol gets out there and directs traffic. And they I don't know if you remember this, years ago, this guy would come in this big Cadillac convertible, and he had the long horns on the front. Do you remember that? This
yes.
guy, and they would take pictures of him in that convertible with the long horns on the front of the car.
I remember.
And, it was so important. And all these years, they've been playing each other, and it's called the Red River Shootout and Showdown because Red River runs between the two states. And that's how it started out, which, you know, it's just an amazing story. And the Dallas Morning News asked them not long ago, said, what is the most important football team there is? And they said, well, this is the third. Texas OU is the third. Army-Navy is first. And then the Ohio is the second one.
Really?
And Texas OU is third in the nation.
Cool.
Yeah, Michigan, Ohio, and Army and Navy. Those only two that is ranked any higher than this game. And, you know, they've played every year. Now, a lot of people won't remember all this, but in 1900, it played on October 10th. The score was Texas 28, Oklahoma 2. Hmm. Now then, last year, It was Texas 49, Oklahoma 0.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. And all-time series, Texas leads 63-55. The largest score was in 2003, Oklahoma. It was 65-13.
Really?
Yes. And the longest winning streak was Texas. 1940-47, 58-65.
Jeez.
And then, of course, they won last year big time.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Now, I checked on this year on what the tickets are. There's still some left.
Really?
The person, yes. And they're $305 a ticket.
That's a bargain.
It is a bargain, isn't it?
They're going to be more.
$305.
I'm surprised there's any left.
More money will be spent in Dallas, Texas for that weekend than any other time other than Christmas. I've heard the stories. I've talked to merchants. They said the women come to shop till they drop. And a lot of women don't go to the game. They go and start shopping at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. I mean, you know, they're here to shop. But they tell me every restaurant, the reservations will be non-extant. They'll be sold out. There'll be reservations everywhere in town long before they get here. And the hotels will all be full. So everybody, if you haven't got your tickets, there's a few tickets left. I looked at the board. You need to get those tickets, get that hotel nailed down. You may have to stay out in Plano or Richardson or, you know, a little farther out if you don't already have those tickets. We have a lot of new hotels, but I don't know how far that'll go. So it's important, you know, to get this done early. And right now it's certainly not too early to finish that up.
Yeah. I'm really shocked that there are tickets of available. We're like a week out?
Yeah, but it's like 2 and 1 and 2.
Oh,
it's
so
not, you can't.
They're kind of scattered.
Yeah, they're all over them. But in 1900, they were writing up about them. And, of course, the Austin American Statesman said, oh, it's a varsity game. And then they referred to it as a practice game.
Oh,
oh my gosh. I can't believe back then how they referred to it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and if you remember, they had a couple of scandals along the way. I don't know if you remember, in 1976, the game was overshadowed by allegations by Daryl Royal, and, you know, he's the most famous coach around. He said Oklahoma had been spying on his practices.
Ooh.
And it was later confirmed by OU coach Barry Switzer in his book, Bootlegger's Boy. And, you know, everybody thought they were spying on him, but they didn't have any proof. And, you know, Barry Switzer was later kicked out and fired because of all the things he was doing. But the 1976 game was attended by President Gerald Ford.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
And he made an appearance with Daryl Royal and Switzer before the game. And they talked to Ford, but they wouldn't speak to each other because they were having all those problems with spying and, you know, doing all that. So a lot of things happened. And Daryl Royal, 10 years before he was coach, he went to OU. That's where he was from.
Really?
Daryl Royal went to OU, and then he later became head coach at Texas, and he was very famous. He won an awful lot of games. He was very popular. I know we've done his story several years ago, but he was a heck of a guy. And one year, both of the quarterbacks, you know, were out in the first half. Yeah, in 1977, they lost. Both of them lost their quarterbacks in the first half of the game.
Jeez, it's been so long, I've forgotten some of these things.
Yeah, and Earl Campbell, the Heisman Trophy winner, was with them, and, you know, he was great. So a lot of things have happened, but it's the most popular college football game, as far as I know, in history. I didn't realize it had been going on since 1900.
I didn't either. That's and what did you say, 118 games?
118 games so far.
Wow.
And Texas has got the highest scores overall.
Of course.
And the other thing, and I don't know if you remember this, they give a gold bronze hat, and that's what goes between the two teams. And whoever wins gets the 10-gallon hat, and they put it in their trophy room till the next year. And it used to be bronze, and they said it's not bronze anymore.
It's not?
No, it's not bronze anymore. I guess it's so heavy, they changed it to make it a lot lighter.
Yeah, I didn't think about the weight. I guess a big 10-gallon bronze hat would be a little heavy, I would suppose.
Yeah. So I don't know who'll win, but, you know, they've redone the Cotton Bowl. It's really nice now. You know, it used to have old bleachers and all this. I can remember all that. And now they've reconfigured it, redid it, and it's modern, up-to-date, and really nice. But 1900s when this started.
Amazing. I love tradition, and I love the fact that things go back that far. I didn't realize that it actually did go back to 1900. So that's kind of cool. I love a good scandal every once in a while, and just anything to do with football, we're all over that.
And they've written a lot of books about this.
Yes.
And they've written about Darryl Royal, Barry Switzer. They made a movie about him, you know, after he was kicked out of football. But, you know, the spying and all this other, I don't even remember what else he did. He did something else that really made him mad. But everybody wants their kid to go to Texas or to OU. Bang.
Wow.
And there'll be so many million people watching it on television. Look at all the food and the parties, football parties people will be having.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can't go to the game, they're going to be watching it on television.
I still can't believe that we're into football season already. I can't believe that, you know, we're staring at October. I can't believe that, you know, Halloween is like less than a month away. I can't believe that, you know, here we are, you know, right into the fair and festival season, and then it's the holidays, and I
know.
What happened to this
time
year?
Time is passing us by. Did you know that?
I know it. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh, time is just going right on.
Jeez.
We don't even think about it, but it is, because I didn't even realize, you know, October is just right here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's staring us in the face. And I'm going to tell you how big sports really is. One of the grandchildren, he's only 3 and a half, he started preschool where he can be with all the others, and now they've got him into soccer. He's already started soccer practice.
Wow.
He's not even 4. And I said, you know, all these schools, this is their main source of income, is all these sports.
Yeah.
Because the little one, the 7-year-old, he plays soccer, flag football, basketball. I mean, he doesn't have a moment to spare. And the girls are playing volleyball, and they're doing cheer. I mean, and I've noticed, there's no homework now. Used to, we had homework every night. We had tests on Friday. All that's gone.
Really?
There's no tests on Friday. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and I don't know what the budget of all the sports departments is, but I can tell you it's big. I mean, they're starting these kids out now, we know, at 3 and a half. And the little one, you know, he's 7, and he's in every sport that they're ever named. And this flag football, you know, you're trying to get the flag out of the back of their pants, you know? oh, my gosh.
It sounds so weird when you describe it like that. I don't know why that's funny.
Yeah, and it is. I mean,
I tell you, when I was 4, I don't think I had enough hand-eye coordination to play soccer.
To do it? Could you have done all this?
I could barely walk at 4. Wow.
Well, and the 7-year-old first grader, you know, played all year basketball, and then they sent him right into soccer, and now we have a schedule for the second grade for football, basketball, soccer, and I'm in shock. I think it's too much for little kids. I think they should be maybe doing a little more toward books. But I don't think the school thinks so.
We love our sports. That's for sure.
That's right.
But at what
cost?
That's right.
Everybody loves sports. That's why I talked about Texas OU. That's the biggest thing going.
I know it.
I mean, people will spend anything to go to that game. If they can possibly come into Dallas, going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, I don't know how many they'll estimate next weekend how many thousand were in Dallas.
I can't wait to see the final numbers from that. It's just, I mean, it's that big.
I mean, and that's another thing. They're all going to all go to the fair after they go to football games and do all the other. They're going to eat their way to oblivion. There'll be so many corn dogs and all the new stuff, those sopapillas. That we've talked about. Oh, my gosh, they're divine. Oh. And one of the reporters for the Dallas Morning News has already been down there and filled herself with all this.
Oh, my goodness.
She said she had to go down and check it all out.
Yeah. Well, you have to. I mean, you have to pull one for the team sometimes.
That's right. She had to report on it. And after she heard about it, she was in a hurry to get down there and do her reporting, I can tell you.
Well, she's very anxious about her job.
That's right, yeah. My gosh. It's going to be a great, great time the next 30, 40 days in Dallas, Texas. Everybody should come into town, spend the weekend, and have a good time. I mean, I recommend it. And, you know, the fair is the biggest thing in any state. Texas has the biggest fair.
Yeah.
I think they have the most fun of anywhere. You know, good, clean fun that everybody should participate in. And then I don't know when the Cowboys are playing. I don't know if they're playing all this. They probably are. So there's just sports, and shopping and good food.
It is a good time to be in Texas for sure.
No doubt. And that's why Texas is so wonderful.
Yeah.
They've got food and games and you name it.
We got everything. I mean, it's just like you name it, it's here in some form or fashion. And it's big.
And you don't have to go anywhere else.
Exactly.
Just stay in Texas, stay safe, and you're going to have fun.
And that's how we like it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And before we wrap, we should probably run down the risks of life settlements. I know it's something we like to cover. I don't think we did already. We got so excited about everything else, we didn't do the risks yet. So what's the biggest?
Well, I was going to tell you that. But before I tell you that, I was going to remind everybody, you know, we have an A-plus rating, too, at the Better Business Bureau.
Yes. And that's
a big
deal.
We never even mentioned that.
No, we don't.
It's a big deal. We've worked hard for it. We've been in business over 20 years, and we have an A-plus rating. We've maintained it all these years.
Congratulations. That really is a big deal.
Okay, now I'll tell you about the risk.
Okay.
The biggest risk is it could go over, and it could cost you. You could have to pay premiums. But you know that in advance. On every policy we do, that page that used to be page 14 is about five pages back. It tells you every risk, every bit of profit, what else is going to happen. It's right there for you to read. So that's the biggest risk. The second risk is it's not liquid till it matures. So you can't say in the middle of it, I need some money. We've checked you out. We know you don't need any money. We know that you're accredited. And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. That is a government regulation, by the way. So basically, that's where you are. If you're accredited, you can invest with us. It's $100,000 is the minimum.
And then lastly, are there any risks at all with annuities?
Not really. Right. You know, it's a good, safe investment. Let me say that. And if you're in the stock market, and you want to get some money to safety, I recommend getting an annuity. You don't have to put all your money in it, but however much you want safe, put it in an annuity.
Hmm. So either way, annuities or life settlements, both conservative investment opportunities. You do have to call and get started, get ready. So I assume you've got availability for appointments this week. Yes?
That's right. We're working every day. We don't have any holidays this week.
Yet.
Yeah, we have a lot of them, but I think we're going to miss this week on holidays.
So finally, one last time for people to call, schedule, come talk to you, make an appointment. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.